Apparently, the astronomic world is very excited about the discovery of this gas, which has never been found on Venus in the acidic clouds of Venus before. It's something called phosphine, not a particularly pleasant gas, apparently, a toxic and explosive molecule with a lingering odor of garlic and dead fish. A bit like my blankets on a Sunday morning, it must be said. Ketchil Kirkham is an astronomer with the SKA project. Hello, Ketchil.
Hello, good afternoon.
Okay, tell us why astronomers, well, those that are excited about the discovery in Venus's clouds of phosphine.
Right, well, it's just unusual and unexpected. So phosphine has been found on Saturn and Jupiter before, but you'd expect to see it there. There's a lot of hydrogen on those planets, but not so on Venus, and so it can't be easily explained. And phosphine is a biosignature of life. Of course, not life as we know it. This would be microbial life or some sort of bacterial life, but it's difficult to think how it might survive in those conditions, because Venus is no walk in the park. It's a hellish place. It's the temperatures on the surface are 470 degrees Celsius. That's more than enough to melt lead. But up in the clouds, which is where they found this phosphine gas, it's a bit cooler. It's about 30 degrees. So, you know, there's possibilities. But those clouds, as you pointed out, are sulfuric acid, 90% sulfuric acid. So how would life survive in those conditions? We don't know. So it's time to do some more research. So, yes, the astronomers are excited, and now dreaming up schemes to go there and get a closer look.
Yeah, in the New York Times, the report in the New York Times today, which is where I found out about this, quotes one of the one scientist saying, "By goodness almighty, forget this Mars nonsense. We need a lander, we need an orbiter, we need a program for Venus." But other scientists are saying, "Oh, come on, it's probably some unexplained atmospheric or geologic process. Don't get too excited about it."
Yes, well, I think both sides are equally valid. Yes, it could be some process that we don't know about, but, you know, scientists have thought about that and thought, well, yes, there's volcanoes on Venus and it could be some sort of volcanic process, or there's lightning on Venus, but they've thought about that and counseled them out. It's just that Venus, although it's not very far away, I mean, if it's closest in 2023, it'll be only 43 million kilometers away. But it's an extremely inhospitable place. You know, we've tried sending probes there before. The Russians were the first. In fact, the very first piece of equipment we ever landed on another planet was the Russians landing a probe on Venus in 1966. It didn't last very long. And then the first time we ever got data back from the surface of a planet was from Venus. Again, didn't last very long, and that was in 1970. So it's 100 times denser. The atmosphere is 100 times denser than on Earth, so it just crushes anything that goes in there. What people are proposing now is some sort of Teflon-coated balloon that can hang around in the upper atmosphere for a while gathering data, while an orbiter whizzes around the planet and it can gather data from the balloon. So that's what people are proposing now, including private industry. And this is what's exciting about space now. Private industry's in there. And they're a lot quicker off the mark often than governments. So it's going to be an exciting little mini space race back to Venus.
And apart from curiosity, scientific curiosity for scientific curiosity's sake, which is not to be underestimated, scientific curiosity has led to some extraordinary discoveries which have been hugely beneficial to mankind. But is there any reason other than scientific curiosity to find out whether there is some form of Venusian life?
Well, I think there's a drive to find out whether there's life anywhere apart from Earth. We know that there's the building blocks of life in many, many places in space and on other celestial bodies, but whether there's actually life, this is the big question of the moment. Is it there? Is the universe teeming with life, as some people have proposed, or not? Are we unique? It's a huge fundamental question. And here is a little tiny jigsaw piece that might solve a bit of that puzzle.
But we are unique, which is not to say that there might not be life on other planets, but the chances of there being life, something akin to the human life which we know and sometimes love and sometimes don't, surely that's vanishingly small. And so whatever life there is elsewhere in the universe, and it is arrogant beyond belief to assume that in the vastness that is the known universe, there isn't another form of life. But whatever form of life is on Venus is not anything like us, and why should we care?
Well, yes, I think the tantalizing thing is that Venus is so close. And as you say, there may be life that we could communicate with somewhere, but it's going to be an extremely long way away, and we can't communicate with it. And we couldn't communicate with whatever there is on Venus if there is, in fact, something that we would consider to be life. But, you know, in terms of human knowledge, in terms of our endeavors, this is hugely exciting, you know, because we need to know, is there life out there? Are we the only creatures? Is there a possibility of life evolving elsewhere? And the more that we know about the universe, and that includes our own backyard, the more we know, the more we have a chance to, I suppose, control our own environments as well, because we get better and better at our technology and inventions. And every time there's a big or a small space race, there's a lot of inventions come out of that, because everybody's focused on a grand goal, and this provokes all kinds of creativity in technology development.
Ketchell, thanks very much for talking to us. You've convinced me I want to be on a probe heading towards Venus. Ketchell Kirkham is an astronomer with the SKA project.